Brian Compton here in downtown Manhattan. I have breaking news. I have Nick LaCalzi's tax returns. The man paid $7.03 to the IRS last year. Nick, explain yourself right now.
How did you get them?
I know people.
Unbelievable.
I was not the leaker. That is all I will say.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hello, welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton, Nick LaCalzi, and Adam Rotter here with you in downtown Manhattan. We're going to speak with Steve Zappe from Newsday in just a few minutes. First things first, an up and down week for the Rangers. I think the biggest thing we can take away from this past week, Adam, Derek Stepan has scored a goal.
Without a doubt, that was
huge.
The biggest takeaway I took from the Detroit game. Hopefully he gets going, because Alain Vigneault keeps talking about how the Rangers need their centers to get going, and Stepan certainly at the top of that list. And then there's Zibanejad, who's been up and down, and Hayes, who's now started to play well again. But yeah, that was, now that he's got the monkey off his back, hopefully Stepan
can. Gorilla.
It really was.
King Kong, I don't know. He's never been a goal scorer primarily, but he's, you know, can hopefully make his way towards 20 again.
Getting Stepan on the board and the power play going, I think, are the best things to come out of this week. Right now, playoff position, it looks like the Rangers are the wild card. I don't know how much the next, even week or so, games mean to the Rangers as far as the standings. I think it's much more important that they find their game as a team. They find some consistency in their lines and their power play, the penalty kill. They get the guys that they need scoring going. That includes Zuccarello. It includes Michael Grabner, who's back on the board
27.
With one. They just have to start to ramp it up, so in the last 8 to 10 games, they're ready for the playoffs.
My man Nick Katsunika from NHL.com had a really good column after the Red Wings game about Stepan and everything he went through, so make sure you check that out. Nice little cheap plug, but he had a good bit there about Stepan was actually calling Marty St. Louis to pick his brain about, you know, how did you handle when you came here and weren't scoring goals? Really good stuff, and not a pretty good guy to lean on in that kind of a situation.
Yeah, Stepan talked about that after the game, and I mean, who better?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things about the Rangers the last few years is that there are a ton of resources. Like, he could have obviously reached out to Marty, which he did. Chris Drury works in the organization. Brad Richards is around sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he could probably call Brian Leetch if he wants. Like, the Rangers have a whole host of alumni, recent alumni, who can help in these things. And, you know, Marty's probably the best guy to go to.
A 3-2 loss against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Monday night. Adam and I were talking about this before we went on the air, Nick. I think the Leafs are done. Tampa Bay, it's going to be them and the Islanders for that second wild card spot. They are right back in the mix, and you got to think sooner or later Steven Stamkos is going to be back.
It really has been unbelievable to see what they've done, especially after losing some decent pieces at the trade deadline. Look, Nikita Kucherov has really put that team on his back. I mean, it's like Tavares a few months ago, or maybe even just a month ago. He's just playing at a different level. He's getting a point per game, if not more than that. I mean, every time he touches the puck, you think he's putting it in the back of the net, or he generates a great opportunity. It's not a team that you're going to want to face. Whoever gets first in the Metropolitan with the Capitals coming back down to earth here and the Penguins in that race, that's going to be a very tough matchup.
Yeah, not to turn this into a Lightning show, but it's so impressive what they're doing, Adam, because they were trading pieces away at the deadline. It's crazy.
And I guess the one piece that they traded that I thought might hurt them was Filppula, because, like, you knew Vasilevsky was going to be the next goalie. And, you know, Brian Boyle, whatever.
Right.
But, like, Filppula, like, you know, that's a potential top six center, and you're trading away a center, and you don't have Stamkos yet, you know. But they've found a way to keep going amidst all these other injuries that they've had, like Tyler Johnson in the last week or so.
They did a really nice job Monday of keeping, not allowing the Rangers to generate a whole lot offensively. Steven Camper got his first goal, so I guess that's a good thing, right?
The Rangers played a good game. I thought, I mean, Budaj made some good saves, but it wasn't like the Rangers played a terrible game. And right now, again, you look at, as Vigneault says, the process of the Rangers, you know, finding their game. I think that's a good step for them right now. The games this week are another back-to-back. A lot of these back-to-back coming up, but they're going to be tired in these second games. They just got to find a way to be on top of their game. And the power play, the three goals against Carolina is huge. This power play needs to be in gear within the next week.
I so I agree with you on the power play. I was so not impressed with the power play, even though it scored three goals against Carolina, because they weren't like, you know, I just want to see them like rip a shot from somewhere, make a great play. Not all this. I don't even remember the goals really, but I remember not being impressed. But Stepan's goal, I think, was on the power play. That was a nice play in Detroit. So hopefully the power play keeps going. But the penalty kill has also that has not been good lately. And you know, you got Grabner and Nash back this weekend. You should get Jesper Fast back this weekend. So hopefully that'll start to even things out. But like I think we talked about last week, it's going to come down to special teams in the playoffs for the Rangers, because 5-on-5, I think they can play with anyone. We know about their goaltending, but it's going to come down to whether or not this power play can execute, or if the penalty kill can keep other power plays from executing.
And it's going to be interesting to see what Vigneault does here. Tough decisions this week. I think it's easy to say that Kampfer's the guy on the back end coming out of the lineup if Dan Girardi's back. Jesper Fast is coming back. Who's coming out up front? Is he Patrick really going to risk? I would hope it's Glass. I think that's the safe assumption, but is he going to try and teach Buchnevich or VC a lesson? You know, you don't know with Vigneault sometimes in these young forwards. I think, obviously, look, smart money says it's Tanner Glass, but you got to hope that that's the case.
It's got to be Glass. I mean, they're a better team with Buchnevich and VC than Tanner Glass in the lineup.
I think, and I thought that both Buchnevich and VC were pretty good against Tampa Bay, so it has to be Glass. Glass is the right decision. Whether or not it's, you know, it means that Glass comes out Friday and then goes back in Saturday for someone else. Like, I think at some point Buchnevich is going to get scratched again. I think it's possible VC will get scratched, but I don't really think so. I think he trusts VC a lot more. But at some point, Tanner Glass isn't out of it. He's going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
Moving forward and possibly in the playoffs.
The other tough decision is going to be when Kevin Klein gets back.
If he comes back.
Do you even want him to come back?
No.
I mean let's be honest.
I don't think
he has been brutal all season.
I don't think he's a top six defenseman on the Rangers as currently constituted. It would be very tough to remove, unless it's Girardi and those two battle it out and are in and out of the lineup. I don't know who else you could take out. Assuming that Kampfer's out and Girardi and Klein are battling for the...
Klein's going to be out. I mean, he's going to be the seventh defenseman now, because, you know, you got Brendan Smith and you're not going to get rid of any of the other guys. And, you know, Girardi's a more trustworthy player. At least I think Girardi's a more solid player than Klein has been. You know, Girardi is certainly has his warts, but if you're putting him on the third pair instead of the first pair, maybe that's different, because you've already seen Kevin Klein on the third pair this season, and it hasn't been pretty.
I tell you guys, when this is all over, when the season's over and we're in here reviewing the 2016-17 season, the biggest mystery is going to be what the heck happened to Kevin Klein. He fell off a cliff.
A mountain. Yeah. I mean, he was incredible last season. And look, he came back to earth a little bit. Some of it was the points he was picking up, and you hope that Nick Holden isn't following that trend where if Holden's got 12 points next year at this time of the year, is his play in a similar role to Kevin Klein. But his game deteriorated to the point where you don't know what they could even get for him if they look to move him at the end of the season. Can you get a third-round pick?
No. Absolutely.
I think that your best option with Klein is pray that Vegas takes him. Or, you know, there's going to be other moves that they're going to have to make. And I think that Kevin Klein, I think he can still play in the NHL. I don't think he can really play on a contender.
No.
But there are plenty of bad teams who could take Kevin Klein. As a veteran, as some guy, you know, he's a good locker room guy. Someone will take Kevin Klein for a fifth-round pick or something, and the Rangers will be happy to do that.
Henrik Lundqvist out 2 to 3 weeks with a hip injury. You kind of view this as a blessing in disguise. I mean, you want him to be 100% going into the playoffs and on top of his game. Maybe this break will help him a little bit.
Yes. But there's also the point that it's taken him so long after these long breaks to get his game going again. And maybe 5 games at the end of the season is all that he's going to need. But that's the only concern that I have. Like, yeah, the rest is good. But what good is the rest if he's not playing well? So
they have to figure that out. You hope that he gets these last 5 games. Because if the injury is for real, then they're in trouble. And they're in big trouble if he's not coming back from it. There's a piece of me that believes it's really not as bad as 2 to 3 weeks.
I'm with you. Yeah.
And they want, you know, he could be back with 8 games left in the season after this weekend. It would not shock me if Lundqvist says, oh, he's playing the second game of the back-to-back against the Islanders or the Devils. And then he kicks it into gear. Because to me, after this weekend is the point where the Rangers, it becomes the playoffs essentially for them. Those last 8 to 10 games, They need to find their game and be playoff ready in those games.
Yeah, Adam, I think the fact that he talked about it, here's when it happened, that's not normal for a guy who's going to be out long term.
The one thing about 2 to 3 weeks that I think of is possibly that I don't know that the Rangers are going to practice a lot.
Yeah.
And he's going to need a lot of practice time because they've got this weird back-to-back schedule and these breaks in between that I don't know if he's going to get on the ice again until late next week or something. And then he's going to want 3 or 4 practices. And then you're into 2 to 3 weeks. And, like, I agree with you guys. I don't think it's a super serious injury. Yeah. But I think that the timing of it, I guess the timeline, I think has a lot to do with how the Rangers are viewing their schedule now.
I think some of it's the schedule. And it kind of reeks of, hey, we're okay in the number 4 spot. It's a minor injury. There's no reason to push him at this point in the season. You don't really feel pressure coming from the back end. I mean, if the Rangers go 500, unless the Islanders win out, you know, it's very hard to see the Islanders or even Tampa Bay catching them. You don't want to go 500. You don't want to back into the playoffs. But you're pretty comfortable in the first wild card. There's no reason to push Lundqvist, to push Nash, to push Girardi and Foss and these guys with the injuries to try and hope you get the 3 seed. When the 4 seed presents the better matchup and you're okay sitting where you are.
Yeah, we'll talk about the standings a little bit later. Before we get to Steve, I think the biggest thing too, Adam, they're in good hands with Antti Raanta. He's been fantastic all season long.
He's been great. There's no other way to say it. Like he was there for the Rangers when the Rangers needed him when Henrik was struggling, and he deserves to play these games. And I think it's possible that we could be looking at a Cam Talbot situation again this offseason that now he's got the reins for a few games in a row. Someone might be willing to make a deal.
Joining us now on Rangers Blue Line is Steve Zappe. Steve, Brian and Nick Lacazzi, how are you?
Hello, guys. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We're just talking about the Henrik Lundqvist injury. What's your take? Should Ranger fans be genuinely concerned here?
I'm more interested in seeing Hellberg for a couple games. No, I'm kidding. he could be the Cam Talbot guy. I just heard you talking about the situation with Talbot. No, I'm kidding. I think they have to be concerned a little bit with the back-to-backs coming up because you really don't want to see Hellberg. You don't want to have Raanta get hurt before Lundqvist is ready to return. So I'm thinking Hellberg will get a shot at some point. I'm not sure where, but with 3 more back-to-backs coming up, I know there's space between it, but I think we're going to see Hellberg at some point.
Steve, do you see this? You don't want to jump past the playoffs or anything, but do you see this as an audition for Antti Raanta, for teams in the offseason potentially looking at a 1A, 1B, if Vegas doesn't take him, where Raanta could begin to be viewed as a potential starting goaltender in the NHL if he has a good few weeks here?
Yeah, he's 27. You know, I think he certainly showed some ability in Chicago, and they had a goaltending jam there as well. And I think it's possible that somebody like Dallas might be interested. It depends who else has, you know, maybe Carolina, depending on what happens with Cam Ward. I think there's spots for him. I'd give him a shot at the right price. You could probably get him for 2 years at 1 point something, maybe $2 million. Steve, I mean, he's good for next year. Steve, but I'm thinking he would want to go somewhere and try to get extended.
We were just talking about the blue line before you came on. What's the latest on Kevin Kline, and where does he even fit in if he gets healthy here?
I mean, he's been invisible.
Yeah,
I have not
awful.
Seen him in the locker room. I haven't seen him in the trainer's room for weeks. It is kind of a mystery, but I think right now he's probably like the 9th defenseman. I mean, you know, Klendening might even be ahead of him because he's healthy. It's a mystery. It's his decline is what's more stunning than almost anyone else I can think of in recent Ranger history.
Yeah.
I mean, people complain about Girardi, but Girardi's been a warrior his entire career. I think he still holds the record for most playoff games at about 110 or something. I mean, the guy is just, you know, a machine. And meanwhile, Kline has sort of, he hasn't had a very good season. He looks like he's bad on reading pucks, and then he's slow to recover. I really don't know what's going on, to be honest, and the Rangers are being very quiet about it.
Steve, conventional wisdom says Jesper Foss comes back, Tanner Glass, easily the odd man out of the lineup. Do you see any way in which Alain Vigneault views the Rangers' top 12 forwards right now as including Tanner Glass?
I could see him spotting him in certain games and maybe giving Vizi a rest. Yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, I think Vizi, what? Vizi hasn't scored in about 13 games now. And when I asked Vigneault the other day about if he was concerned about him, he said, oh, no, I think he's been skating better for the last five or six games. Well, yeah, everybody skates well in the NHL. He said he was a very sort of damning by faint praise. Because if he was playing so well, why is he on the fourth line?
That's a good question. Man.
I mean, Buchnevich, I don't think, is playing that well either.
Yeah.
I mean, he has his moments, but at times he seems disengaged. He's sort of outside the play on the perimeter. Not that he's been a disappointment. I mean, look, he missed so many games. It's not like he's tired, but I just don't think he's adjusted as well as possible. And again, probably because of the injury. I wouldn't doubt seeing Buchnevich sitting every once in a while. I mean, there's only 12 or 13 games left. I think they want Buchnevich to play. I know they love him. I know all the coaching staff loves him. But I think it's a better chance of seeing Vizi and Glass
swapping.
You know, share some time.
You say Vizi's not really going, Buchnevich isn't going. It almost feels like you could say that for, gosh, half the Rangers' offense. Sure, Rick Nash is playing well, but he's not finishing. He's got 33 points.
Right. Excellent point.
Derek Stepan's got 13 goals. Matt Zuccarello's got 12. Zibanejad has a great game. Then he's kind of invisible.
Yep.
How does Vigneault get these lines sorted out in the next 12 games so they establish a more consistent offense again?
What you're looking at here, as you just pointed out, is kind of I think you're going to see a sort of experimental 12 games here. I think he's going to play the hot hands, and I think if he has a luxury, I mean, what, do they need, what, 3 points now maybe to guarantee a playoff spot or four? I don't know. I think 94 or so is going to be the cutoff. But anyway, they're pretty much in. But, I mean, I could see, I think he wants to get through with the injuries. He certainly wants to see Fast play. He's got to get Girardi back in at some point to give him some games. But among the forwards, yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Zuccarello back with Zibanejad at some point. And I just think maybe Nash has to play with Stepp.
Steve, it was great to see Stepan get back on the score sheet there in Detroit. Just being
Boy,
around.
What a flubbed shot,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, it was a work of art.
Looked like
for
one
sure.
of my shots.
How did he handle that whole drought? Just you, I know you're in the room all the time. Just over that, geez, it was almost 2 months, I guess it was. Just how did he handle that whole scoring drought?
You mean with the media
yeah,
or in his own head?
His own persona, and just was he down? How did he handle the whole thing?
Yeah, I think he was a little down. I mean, he doesn't really like to talk about himself much. He likes to really do the sort of team overview as a guy wearing an A should do post game. I mean, I think he was trying to be upbeat because I think if you start, you know, athletes, anybody, a salesman, a construction worker, I mean, if you start focusing too much on the negative, you're not doing your job well. So I think he's young enough and he knows he's been a very, very solid two-way player for so many years with the Rangers now. I mean, it's hard to believe he's been around for so long.
Yeah.
I think he handled it with the media well. I think he was talking to a lot of players, Marty St. Louis. Obviously, he's talking to McDonough, people he knows, his agent. You know, you just have to presume there's going to be an upward turn somewhere. And, you know, like they say, sometimes you get one goal and you get a bunch.
Right.
I'm not sure about that, but.
Well, if you keep shooting it like that, they're going to come in bunches.
Right. But I think I might want to try Nash again on that line. I don't know.
That seems like the most conventional first line for the Rangers. With Stepp and Nash together, they don't even have to score to be successful as long as they play even with the Crosby line or the Ovechkin line that they're matched up against for that game.
Right, and you can't knock Nash's defensive play. I mean, they, you know, again, that's not what you're paying him that much money for, but you have to remember he's not the same Nash as he was at the beginning of his career. There's just no question about it. he's not going to score 40 goals again.
No.
35.
Right.
He's only got 33. But you hope he could get to 25. And you know, for the next year and a half, if he scores 27 or 25 to 30 next year, you're okay with it.
Right. Right. And as long as he's playing, you know, two-way hockey. And he's not – he just looks still a little bit – he just doesn't look himself.
It looks like, Steve, I mean, conventional wisdom right now, the Rangers really just have to go 500 to hold the first wild card spot and get the Atlantic Division.
Right.
Do you see a path here where the Rangers, you know, could be in the Eastern Conference Finals staring down one of Washington or Pittsburgh?
Or Columbus.
Or Columbus, yeah. They.
I mean, I think that's less possible. But, yeah, sure. I mean, I think Montreal is beatable, although – you know, I won't count anybody out with Carey Price, with the bigger forwards they got. They helped their defense at the trade deadline. You know, the way the Rangers play on the road in Montreal is not great, and they clearly won't have home ice advantage, and the Rangers stink at home. So, I think Ottawa's catching lightning in a bottle at the moment. But I think they could get through Montreal or Ottawa. I think Ottawa a little easier. And then a second round, sure. Yeah, I think if they win the first, they're going to win the second. If that sounds optimistic, I don't know. It just seems logical that you should. I mean, I think they're better than Boston.
Yeah.
I'm with you on all those accounts. I think it is plausible to see the Rangers get in there, and whoever comes out of the Metro is going to be beaten up. Because there's no way you're walking clean out of a series against John Tortorella, because that team is going to be in your face every second of that game. And Washington's another, you know, if Pittsburgh gets through both of them, it's not going to be at 100%.
Right, you would think so. Again, but if you look at it the other way, you know, you just pointed out the Rangers are not scoring at a high pace. You're going to come back with Lundqvist with only maybe four or five games under his belt to get into the first round. The Rangers have, yes, they've played well on the road, but not very well at home. I mean, the Rangers have to get through the first round as well.
Yeah, they're not playing their best hockey right now going in, but with 12
games.
No, and
I think it's, again, it's how you finish. The one thing is, knock on wood for Ranger fans, they stay healthy from now on in.
Absolutely, that's the biggest thing. Steve, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it. I'll see you soon.
Anytime, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Zappay, the Rangers beat writer for Newsday. Follow him on Twitter at Steve Zappay. Let's get right into the standings race here. I think it's the first wild card now. 4 points back at Columbus. The Blue Jackets have 2 games at hand. And like we've said, it's not the worst thing in the world.
I never thought it wasn't the first wild card. Like, that's kind of been my focus.
Well, they gained ground for a little bit there.
I mean, they're technically in it
right.
to move up. But I never kind of really – I've in my mind, it's been the first wild card for – months and months, and you know the other three teams I think are just a little bit above the Rangers, and so you know it's Montreal or Ottawa, and you figure that out.
It's not going to be an easy path, but the doorway is there for the Rangers to get hot, bring some life to New York City, and be staring down a beaten up team in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, like Steve said, you got to get through the first round first, right? Because the Rangers aren't healthy right now. They're not scoring a whole lot of goals. But I think looking at the standings, fellas, I think you want Ottawa in the first round. I'm not crazy about having to see the Rangers go into the Bell Center and play Carey Price. I know they've had success against the Canadiens in the playoffs in the past, but we don't know Craig Anderson's status. He's a little banged up. I'd much rather play against Mike Condon in the first round than Carey Price.
Yeah, I think if you had to choose, it's Ottawa, although Ottawa's playing really well, and, you know, you run into the team playing with lightning in a bottle, as Steve was saying, and, like, well, you know, they've got Erik Karlsson, who's, you know, not only a Norris candidate, but a Hart candidate, and, you know,
Yeah. They're
surprisingly deep, you know. Bobby Ryan's not having a great year, but he's still Bobby Ryan, and, you know, they still have Phaneuf, you know. They're also not, and Chris Neal, they're also, you know, the Rangers aren't going to get out of the first round, you know, not beating up any either.
Yeah, these teams, Montreal made a point of getting heavy, and that might have been with the Rangers in mind, because we know the Rangers are not a heavy team. Montreal went out and got, transformed into a Claude Julien team overnight, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they made 2-3 moves to transform the whole roster to a more Bruin-style, bruising bottom six that could potentially punish the Rangers. And you saw that with Steve Ott chasing around JT Miller in the waning seconds of that Montreal Rangers game. They know that looks like the matchup for the first round. Granted, Ottawa's gotten red hot, and they're in it right now. I mean, if you look at it, two games in hand, down 1 point, they can easily pass Montreal. Realistically, the Rangers would have to beat both of them to get in.
Here's what's really scary about Ottawa. You have to get the lead. Otherwise, if you remember back a few months ago, they played that 1-3-1, the game's over.
Special, yep.
If Ottawa's up 1-0 with 6 minutes left in the first period, the game's over pretty much. So you have to get the first goal against Ottawa because they play that ridiculous system. And I think that that's something that, you know, the Rangers talked about when they played Ottawa, and I don't think they got it in either game.
Dion Phaneuf's had a bounce back year that kind of flies under the radar.
Yeah,
he reestablished himself. Look, he's almost in the Nash category. He's never going to be worth that $7 million contract.
Right.
But if Dion Phaneuf was on a $4 million contract right now, he is being lauded for what he did to turn his career around, and he's played a crucial role in Ottawa.
And I think that's the other thing, too. This is not an overly aggressive Rangers team. They can be pushed around a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if they can't play fast to the point, you know, the Rangers' philosophy always, we're going to play so fast you can't push us around.
Right.
That doesn't always work.
Yeah.
You know, that'll work one or two times in the series, but there's going to be a point where the Rangers are going to have to really grind and go play down low and work for a goal and not just rely on Michael Grabner to, you know, break up a pass defense to defense and score on a breakaway.
The one guy that would be tough to see in the playoffs, too, is Brassard. You know he's got a knack for big goals and scoring clutch one. He hasn't been great, but when the bright lights were on Brassard, he performed as a New York Ranger. And in the playoffs, they don't get much brighter.
Two biggest things. Hank's got to get healthy, and the Rangers got to score more goals. Fellas, see you next week. Thanks again to Steve Zappay. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you soon.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.